name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The scripture reading is taken from the 11th chapter of St. John, translated in the King James Version, reads in a very peculiar way as we once more read verses 49 and 50. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, "You know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not." What arrogance, what audacity, what an authoritarian speech made by Caiaphas. It is expedient that one die. Webster tells us that the word expedient means particularly that something is very suitable in order to achieve a special end, in order to arrive at a special advantage that one is seeking. It is the politic way of doing things. And in having said that, Caiaphas immediately revealed that he was one of the greatest politicians that the church had ever had. But then we look at ourselves and we see that there are so many moments in our lives when we too deal in expediency. We evaluate. And oftentimes we begin with a lofty set of principles, and the conclusion that we reach is not the one that we feel provides us with the greatest advantage. So we turn to expediency, even as Caiaphas did. You know, these people were really in a very severe quandary. As St. John reminds us, if we let him alone, they said in the high council of the nation, then Rome is going to come and take everything away, even that little that we still have left under Roman domination. But on the other hand was this magnificent and marvelous popularity, which was simply moving up into a mighty crescendo that our Lord was experiencing. People were beginning to follow him in droves, particularly as he had raised Lazarus from the dead. There was the real miracle worker whom they would like to have, if not as high priest, then certainly as king. So the authorities in Israel were running scared. If they let him go, Rome will take everything away that they have. If they allow him to continue, then they will lose everything as well, because all the support and everything that they have had will be shifted to him. He must go, Caiaphas had decided. But there was no charge. How could they condemn him? Then Caiaphas made his famous speech. Undoubtedly the most powerful man in Israel, he had served as high priest for some 18 or ultimately served for some 18 years, about 10 years by this time. And he concluded that his was really the perfect solution. "You are all ignorant. All the speeches, all the counsel that had been given up to that time is a mark of stupidity," he reminded the council. "It is expedient that one die, so that the whole nation perish not. Caiaphas certainly was a politician, an extremely shrewd politician, and he knew what he was talking about. In preparation for his special position, he had married the daughter of Annas, and this gave him considerable family pull. In arriving at his spot and in maintaining himself as high priest, he continued to bribe people. He was unafraid of wire pulling, and he even resorted to blackmail, and that helped him to achieve his goals. His chief principle was, never let your principles interfere with your actions, but have your actions dictated by what seems to be the greatest advantage to you at that particular moment. And what a wonderful racket he had going in the church of that time. For he had finally gotten a corner on all the sacrificial animals, the sheep and the turtle doves and the money changers and what have you. And this is precisely where the great source of conflict finally came between Caiaphas and our Lord Jesus. You see, his religious business was really prospering until one day when Jesus entered the temple with whip in hand, and he knocked over the money changers' tables, and he drove them out, and his words, I'm sure you remember, were, "Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." To be called a thief, I'm sure, did not bother Caiaphas, but to ruin his business certainly bothered him. And so something had to be done quickly, and the Sanhedrin, of which our text speaks, was called together. It is expedient that one should die. But how? And it is at that point that a little man by the name of Judas walked in, greedy, hungry for money, and he gave them the perfect opportunity to see to it that one should die for the people. And the trial, as you know, was very short. Caiaphas demanded of a silent Jesus, "I adjure thee by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." And it is only at that point that our Lord broke his majestic silence. And he came with his confession, brief and straightforward. "Yes, I am." As far as Caiaphas was concerned, that clinched it, that did it. As a hypocrite, he tore his robe to show his bitter disappointment. But then he spoke again. "He has spoken blasphemy," our Lord was accused. "What further need do we have for any additional witnesses?" And all responded, "He is guilty of death." And once more, when all the shouting was over, expediency had won its goal. It had justified its end. Our Lord had interfered in the vocational and personal life of this high priest Caiaphas. But I think that we need not sit in judgment over this high priest. He knew what was going on within the church, and he knew how he wanted to direct the affairs of people to preserve himself. For you see, you and I, too, as people, are so often directed by what happens to be expedient. Or we are directed so often by what seems to interfere with our relationship to our Lord. And this sometimes can be our work. It can be our family. It can be our fun. It can be our pleasure. And sometimes it even can be our church. And it is at that point that we again must hear him in the darkness, even as he spoke the words on the cross, "Father, forgive them. I gave my life for you, that you might have it more abundantly." Thank God that Caiaphas said these words. It is expedient that one should die for all people. Thank God that he died for you and cleansed you in his death. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds